The governors of various planets spoke as follows. Dear Lord, we believe only in our direct perception, but under the circumstances, we do not know whether we have actually seen you with our material senses. By our material senses, we can simply perceive the cosmic manifestation. But you are beyond the five elements. You are the sixth. We see you, therefore, as a creation of the material world. Purport. The governors of the various planets are certainly materially opulent and very puffed up. Such persons are unable to understand the transcendental, eternal form of the Lord. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that only persons who have anointed their eyes with love of Godhead can see the personality of Godhead in every step of their activities. Also in the prayers of Kunti, it is stated that only those who are akinchana gocharam, who are not materially puffed up, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others are bewildered and cannot even think of the absolute truth. I can't believe it. The Lokapals, the governors of the various planets in the universe, I can't believe it. We're seeing you. We shouldn't be able to see you. We're just materialists. We're not really sure whether we're seeing you because we don't really believe in you anyway. They're in an unusual position. They're getting the opportunity to see Krishna. They don't seem to be really too happy about it. And we want to go on with sense gratification, but if we see you, then sense gratification will be finished. As Rupa Goswami gave the prescription, you want to enjoy your life with your society, friendship and love, don't go to Kashigat. Whatever you do, don't go there. It's very dangerous to go there because Krishna is standing there playing on his flute with his beautiful threefold bending form. If you see, then your desires for material enjoyment will be completely finished. So don't go. So anyone, they can say, well, yeah, I'm following Rupa Goswami by not being Krishna conscious. I'm being attached to my family and friends. But of course, this is an injunction, back to front injunction. Go! Do go! Simply by seeing him, one's material attachments will be broken. The governors of the various planets, the Lokapals, they are pious persons. But it seems from their own description that they're like good Hindus. They believe in being good and believing in God, but not too much. Just like so many times we see, young men in India want to join our movement, and the parents, when they first see their sons taking interest in Krishna consciousness, they say, well, that's very good. If he's religious, then he won't get mixed up with boozing and smoking and girls. He'll be a good boy. So that's very good. It's good to go to the temple, but not too much. Don't join. And join them. So many times we see that the parents, as long as the children are doing all bad things, then they what shall we do? It's all right. We're also doing so. What difference does it make? But they become very upset if the son gives up all the bad habits and becomes Krishna conscious. Or they may be pious Hindus themselves. They might even be initiated devotees in ISKCON. Let's see how many of our initiated devotees in ISKCON, in India especially, want their children to be a full-time brahmachari preacher. They'll say like that when they bring the little children, they'll say, give blessings that he can become a great devotee. If I say, I'll give him blessings so he'll leave you and be a full-time preacher. No, don't give him, not that blessing. You can be like me. I'll have a good job in a good company and make lots of money and give about 0.1% to the temple maybe. And I'll be a pure devotee at home, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, materialistic devotees. Pious people, but they don't really want to surrender to Krishna. Now, one has to be pious to be a devotee, as Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? That's the one I'm looking for. Yesham Twantagatam Papam. Those who are free from sinful activities. So that's one thing. Bhajante Maham Dridhavrataha. Those who can worship me with firm determination, it's understood that they've performed anjananam punya karmanam. They're free from sinful activities and they're engaging in pious activities. But that's not all. There's another condition. What's the other condition? They're free from dvandva moha, the duality of thinking in terms of I, me and mine. I am nijap paro veti. This is mine, that is someone else's. But the devotee sees everything is Krishna's. I have no friends and enemies, just like Krishna. He's neutral to everyone. So a devotee, he's not interested, he's pious, but he's also knowledgeable, not simply pious. That's why there is Lokik Shraddha, or ordinary faith, which gives rise to Lokik Bhakti, or ordinary bhakti, sakama bhakti, bhakti with material desires, and shastriya shraddha, that based on shastra, that gives rise to nishkam bhakti. So we often see people, they have a lot of faith. People, so many are coming, performing parikrama of Govardhan with faith. They have a lot of faith. What is that faith? Pratyasha me kuru tvam Govardhana purnam. That Govardhan will fulfill my desires. But what are the desires? That I can also become a lokapal. I can become a big shot in the material world. So, it works, must work, otherwise why would they wouldn't be coming if it didn't work. If you just put some stone and ask people that you go around it and your desires will be fulfilled, it won't work. It may work in some cases, not exactly work, but just any stone that doesn't have the power to bestow, fulfill anything. But this stone, Govardhan, or amalgam of stones, this is Krishna who can fulfill all desires, and particularly in this form, he is very merciful. So people have discovered that, oh, do Govardhan Parikrama, you get your desires fulfilled. So they come with a lot of faith. We're hearing him calling out, Radhe, Radhe, Shamilade, but they want Sham, calling out to Radhe, let me meet, you arrange to that I will meet Sham. We don't pray like this. You arrange I'll meet Sham and then I'll be with Sham. But no, we pray that how we can serve Shamagori Onge Debo Chua Chandane Gonda, that of course that's very high level, that service, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Dasaranu Das, Seva Abhilasha Magena Rotama Das. We pray for service to Radha and Krishna. Not that, that well, you introduce me to Sham and then, you know, that's all. Then I'll be with Sham. And you'll just be the, watchman or something like that. And I'll be with Sham. So they don't know what they're doing actually. They don't, with a lot of faith they sing, but they have no knowledge of how bhakti should be performed. And hearing from so many bogus people, it doesn't help at all. They just get the wrong conception. It's like I was saying in the last class I gave, which is in Vrindavan, that we were going to the temple and I heard on TV what sounded like a pravachan, a lecture. So then I called in the house, from TV. What's that? Some pravachan going on TV? Whose is that? Some bapa whose name we don't want to say here, which will pollute the atmosphere. He has his lecture every day, this time on TV. Actually, the name is good. The name of Ram is there. But he's such a rascal. He thinks that he's more than Ram. He's a complete Mayavadi and demon. So people are living in Vrindavan, that's a great fortune, but they can never actually live in Vrindavan by hearing such a person. They'll be removed from Vrindavan. They may think even he's talking of bhakti. But for such people, bhakti means some means which I can fulfill my material desires. So even they may be living in Vrindavan, but that's not really living in Vrindavan. Just like the Lokapals, they're seeing the Supreme Lord. They're not sure whether they're actually seeing him, because how can we see through these eyes? And they're not sure if they even want to see him. But oh, he might tell us to surrender to him now, then we'll be in trouble. So it's superficial. It's superficial. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for almost 1 month, traveling by foot throughout the whole Brajamanda, said, I went all through the area, I couldn't find one devotee. I couldn't get any satsang, not anyone. So his followers were surprised to hear that. He spoke a lot on this subject. Who is a Brajvasi? Those who are the followers of, according to the rasa, followers of the gopis, followers of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. The followers of Balaram, Sudama, Sridama, all these. The followers of Raktak, Patri, and then others may be following, even in Shantaras. So these are the Vrajvasis who they're not praying that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he once said that the crazy people, they're praying Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatum. Why is that? Why crazy? That's beautiful prayers. We're told that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would recite this. At least I've heard that. I've not seen any authoritative reference. These are apparently composed by Sri Shankaracharya. Now why? Because the materialistic people, they're praying to Jagannath that we want to see. But at the same time, if they see him, they'll say, well, you're the Lord of the universe, so give me a chunk. Chunk means bhag. Give me a part. Give me something. Let me. Why should you enjoy it all for yourself? I should enjoy. Why all for you? We'll worship you, but we want something from you. So pure devotees, they pray for service. And mixed devotees, they're also devotees. They may also perform service, but their attitude is different. They haven't understood the point that one's real self-interest is served by not having any self-interest. One should desire only to serve Krishna for the sake of serving him. And that in itself is the reward of the devotee. In materialistic consciousness, it's opposite consciousness. Viparaya buddhihi, back to front way of thinking. By which even one comes in contact with devotees or with the Supreme Lord himself, but one is thinking how I can get some advantage, how I can exploit. So that is the difference between the pure devotees and the mixed devotees or non-devotees. Mixed devotees means they have some respect for the Supreme Lord, but they don't have the attitude of surrender. They don't have the attitude of selflessness to the Supreme Lord. That's why they resemble, in many ways, non-devotees. Bhakta Praya, or almost devotees. Because I'm sometimes in Bengal, we used to see people very enthusiastic, devotees wearing tilak and neck beads and doing lots of kirtan. And we asked them, are you vegetarians? And they say, most of the time. Almost. So they're niramishasi praya. Almost. Actually, the word is not vegetarian. Niramish. It's not a question of vegetables. It's what is prescribed in Shastra, what isn't. There's more things. Some vegetables are also in the category of meat. They're in the category of amish, not to be taken. So, almost means, well, I only eat little fish, not much. Or not every day. So they don't get the same benefit. They have enthusiasm, no doubt, in bhakti, in many ways. but they don't get the same benefit as those whose enthusiasm is without any mitigating factor. Full surrender. The Lokapal says they're seeing the Supreme Lord, but they're still, they're not very fortunate. They are the architect. We've heard that man is the architect of his own fortune. So in this case, the Lokapals, they're the architects of their own misfortune, because despite having the direct audience of the Supreme Lord, they tell him directly that, well, we're not very interested in surrendering to you, and we're not sure if you're even there at all, really. We're not really sure if you exist at all, whether it's just some illusion. You'll see so many people, they'll be worshipping the deity. But if you speak with them, they're under the impression that the deity is a stone. Just a stone. But it becomes powerful because so many people come and pray to the stone that it absorbs the energy. And then it reflects it back. See, so it's a powerful stone. Many people have this kind of misconception, which is stemming from Mayavad. The Mayavad means an elaborate complex, philosophical complex for appearing to be very spiritual while denying the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's materialism in the guise of supposed, well, in many cases they make a show of bhakti. But Krishna is not impressed. You hear the word pratyak drashta. Is that the word? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada has translated this as inner witness. He knows what's in our hearts. When Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami set out for Puri from Varanasi to go to live with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one Rama Bhakta, seeming Rama Bhakta, accompanied him and served him very nicely all along the way, saying, "You're a Brahmin, so I should serve you." And this Rama Bhakta constantly chanted the name of Lord Rama. But when they arrived in Puri, Raghunath Bhatta, he introduced his, he has come with me, he introduced him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He served me very nicely, and he's always chanting the name of Lord Rama. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not show him any special mercy. You think he would do? He's a very sincere devotee. He served my devotee. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept that as actual service or actual chanting, because within his heart he didn't accept Ram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was a Mayavad. We'll find this whole Ramanand Sampradaya in North India. It's all based on Ram Bhakti. But if you speak with their sadhus, and there are many of them, if you can get to speak to them in between them. I mean, many of them, they use the some meditational aids, something to help their meditation. You know what that is? It's called charas, bhang. This in English, hashish is all different forms. So if you speak with them, you'll find that their conception is that Ram is a product of the void. Ram is supreme. We do our bhakti to Ram, but ultimately, Ram is a product of Brahma. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhaya. They fall in that category of thinking that the Supreme Lord, His form is temporary. It is a manifestation of the impersonal Brahman. So the Lokapals, they may have, that's one way of taking advantage of the Supreme Lord for one's material desires and not having to surrender to Him. It's a good philosophical, good means not good, but it's a clever philosophical device. It's like someone taking a prostitute. You just use them and then that's it. I paid the money, so you have no responsibility. You have a wife, then you have to maintain them. But with a prostitute, there's no responsibility. You paid your money and that's it. So like that, people think, well, I worship God and I got what I wanted and that's it. Why? I don't have to surrender or give my life. That's why you'll find that I'm saying that parents and devotees, they'll say, well, you do bhakti, but not fully. No, surrender yourself fully. That's too much. Doing bhakti is good, but not too much. You do it, you get the result that you want, but to give your life, then what's the point? We do bhakti to get some material result, even if the material result is personal satisfaction. But to surrender your life, then what do you get? What's the point? What do you get back? You just, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praying, na dhanam na janam na sundaram, I don't want anything, give me the pay of prendham, the treasure of love for you. What's that? What's the use? The materialistic people will say. So here, pious materialistic people, they're having the opportunity to see the Supreme Lord. From this we can understand that seeing the Supreme Lord is not the topmost benediction. Seeing but not seeing. They're seeing because they see Him, but they don't recognize Him. Just like if there's a crowd of people and someone points out, there goes Sanjay Chaudhary, there he is, you point. You see him, you know you're seeing him because you're seeing 100 people, but you can't make out which one is which, so you don't recognize him. So it's like not seeing. You don't recognize him. So in the same way, one may see Krishna, but if you think he's just an ordinary person, just another person, you don't recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what? It's seeing but not seeing. Pashyat api na pashyati. Seeing but not seeing. Therefore, one has to see through the eye of Shastra. Shastra, Chakshu. Initially, in our position at the present time, we don't see Krishna because we are interested to see the forms of the material world. But we can initially see Krishna through Shastra. How can we see Krishna? Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, how to see him? So many ways he has given. How we can begin to perceive his presence in this material world. Rasauhamapsuti. I am the taste of water. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryoho. I am the light of the sun and the moon. Tejas Tejasvinamaham. I am the influence of the power of the powerful. We can begin to see him like this. Otherwise, on that battlefield of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana also saw Krishna, but he didn't see, here is my Lord who I have to surrender to. He saw, here is my adversary, it's all his fault. Gandhari also thought, it's all Krishna's fault that all my sons are dead. He arranged this, actually. Krishna said, yes, I'm arranging this battle. He said that. But ultimately, of course, the fault lies with the doer. Purusha sukha dukhanam bhuktritve hetu ichyate. Krishna is the cause of all causes, but he gives us a little independence. So if we misuse that, Krishna is not to be blamed. The government, they can just police the citizens so that they can't do anything independently. But that is a police state. In a police state, there's very little crime. In Soviet Russia, there's very little crime because it's not worth the risk, apart from there being nothing to steal anyway. You were born in that time? You've heard about it. But it wasn't worth it because you'd get severely punished for any misdoing. So you may think, well, the Soviet people, they were very well behaved. But as soon as there was some freedom, then immediately the mafia came out. So it wasn't that the people were well behaved, but by force they were kept under control. So people say that, well, why is there suffering in the material world? Why is there so much suffering? It's all God's fault. No, it's all our fault. He gives us the freedom to choose to serve him or not to serve. If we misuse that, then we all get that enviousness toward him becomes manifested as enviousness towards all other living beings. And therefore we cause suffering to each other. So the purport of this verse, the purport of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Lord and Savai Pungsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Adhokshaje Ahaitukiya Pratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. That our real self interest is served by coming to the supreme or the topmost position that we can attain. What is that? Not becoming a lokapala. That is not our topmost position. Not becoming or thinking that we can become God. Recognizing Krishna is the Supreme Lord and that he is Adhokshaja. This verse, the lokapala saying that we can't see you by with material eyes, we cannot see you. He is Adhokshaja. He is beyond the range of the material senses. So service to him is performed on the transcendental platform. The transcendental platform is that of no personal desire in service and non-stop. Ahaituki apratihata. So that is the purport of all the Bhagavatam, which has been expressed also in this verse. From the prayers of the Lokapalas, we can understand how not to pray to Krishna, what attitude not to have toward Krishna. Is there any question, please, or comment? Yeah.
You can explain how envy to Krishna manifests in envy of living beings.
Envy to Krishna manifests in?
In envying other living beings.
To envy all other living beings, because Krishna is the root of existence. So if we love Krishna, that attitude of love will spread to all others. But if we envy Krishna, then there's no possibility of loving others. Loving others means only in relationship with Krishna. If we think, I love you, but I don't love Krishna, then what is the nature of that love? We don't even understand who they are. It's because we don't understand the constitution, we don't accept the constitutional position of Krishna as the supreme enjoyer. And then we also don't understand the constitutional position of ourselves as servants of Him. Then opposite mentality comes. Instead of thinking, I am the servant of Krishna, we think, I am the enjoyer of everything. I am the servant of Krishna, who is the supreme enjoyer. And we don't see others as servants of Krishna, we see them as objects of my enjoyment. So from that attitude toward them, that is the opposite of love. If we love someone, we try to help them to in their service to Krishna, or to bring them back to their platform of service to Krishna. But if we don't recognize Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, that we'll not want others to serve Krishna, and we won't interact with them on the platform of service to Krishna, and we'll see them as objects of my enjoyment. So in this way, that is envy of others. Anything else? Yeah.
That also, it seems that there is it's a great obstacle to overcome self-envy, which manifests in not desiring to come in contact with Krishna.
Not desiring to come in contact with Krishna. Well, we do desire to come into contact with Krishna. It's not that we don't desire to come into contact with Krishna, but we desire to contact Him not so that I will be happy by seeing Him, but so that I can render service to Him. So we don't want to see Him. We do want to see Krishna, but we have to understand the mentality of how to see. We won't demand. Naturally, every living being has a relationship with Krishna. Relationship it's not remote. That's the whole point. How many times did Prabhupada say that? You chant Hare Krishna and you become purified and you will have the opportunity to see Krishna face to face. So we do desire to see, but the seeing is not emphasized. The service is emphasized. Not that I will see and I will enjoy, like we like to see a beautiful landscape or something like this.
I actually want to say that just like that verse with Rupa Goswami, that by looking Krishna you will lose all your material attachment. So a devotee, even being initiated in chanting, he knows that Krishna is the supreme goal of existence and devotional service is the supreme activity, but there is some kind of psychological thing that he's afraid.
I want to surrender, but not just yet.
Because then
after some time.
Because the devotee knows he will kind of Krishna will make him lose all his material pleasures.
Yeah. So Rupa Goswami says, be careful.
So it's actually a real feeling which I very often feel. I'm afraid to plunge myself into Krishna consciousness for that very reason. So how to overcome that subtle self-envy? Because we are cheating ourselves from being joyful in Krishna consciousness.
Then approach Guru. Guru is one who won't allow you to cultivate the wrong desires. If we actually want to be Krishna conscious, if we're not conducting some show, some cheating show, Guru will help that, but it's not easy. It's not easy to live with someone who's completely Krishna conscious. Prabhupada was not easy to stay with. No, hardly anyone stayed with him. His personal servants, most didn't stay with him. So intense. Couldn't take it. Prabhupada was very strong, very demanding. Nowadays our gurus are mostly, pat you on the head and smile at you and that's it. Prabhupada would pat on the head and smile and then slap you in the face also. Not literally, of course. He often spoke about kicking the rascals in the face with boots. He never did that, but verbally, he did. So that we need shasan. Shasan means, what does it mean? Tell me.
Instruction or punishment.
Yeah, it means discipline or punishment. Rascal. I'm so sad that most of the time when I use the word rascal in ISKCON today, everyone just starts laughing. I think I'm making a joke. It's become like that. But the fact is that I am a rascal as long as I'm not fully surrendering to Krishna, at least some percentage of rascaldom is present within me. So the pure devotees, they very kindly purge that out. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said about his own Guru Maharaj that there are many people who thought that they were associating with him, but he would simply cheat them by behaving nicely with them. Yasyahamanugrihnami harishe tadhanam shanai. Krishna, what's your mercy? I take everything away from you. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was very strong with many people, and hardly anyone could take it. When that Manindra Nandi, the Maharaj of Koshin Bazar, came to him and said, he kept on inviting, please come to my palace, come to me. He said, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, if I go there, then I may have the desire to enjoy the palace and take it over for you. It would be very dangerous for you. He said, I want to have your associations. He said, well, better you stay here. I won't go there. You stay here. You forget your palace and stay with me. But that he didn't want his association that much, that he was prepared to follow that instruction. He was famous as a great patron of Vaishnavism. So he had that much credit, but he did the mercy that was offered to him by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he wasn't ready to take. Only one was ready. Because he didn't cheat anyone. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara Thakur described that the sadhu, they will often cheat people. Those who they praise, yes, yes, you are very nice. They're just cheating them. Those, the real mercy they give by chastisement. But they may cheat just to keep them in service. They're doing something. All right, you're very good, you're very nice. That story is there of Balam Chao, the landlord. He couldn't get anyone to stay with him. All his servants, they'd come, they'd train them up a little bit, and then they'd get a religious visa and go to America. Whoops. Isn't it? In ISKCON, they come, they get trained in pujari service, and then doing pujari service very nicely, and they get a religious visa and they go to America. And then they do service in America very nicely in the temple until they get their green card, and then they're selling t-shirts on the beach. So like this, the landlord, he couldn't get anyone to stay with him. So then his friend advised, you give them the first class rice with ghee, then they'll stay. So it worked. They got some material inducement. Nowhere else will they get such facility. They're just working. They're working for some landlord. They were no landlords. They're not going to give first class rice. They give the all fat rice. Unless you work like an ox, you can't digest it. The village people in Bengal, they like that rice. And the city people like the fine rice. So unless some material inducement is given, then his servants, they'd go away, they'd come back very soon, because you won't get such nice food as he is giving. So like that, a preacher has to, or he may give some material inducement just to have people engaged in service. There's one Gauriamat sannyasi who he's old now. He has many disciples. And everyone knows as soon as he passes away, his mutt's just going to be total chaos. Because look at the people he's got around him. So someone was telling me, he asked him, I said, why are you keeping all these people with you? He said, well, what can I do? I can't do anything without them. If I did, unless I, what's the word, indulge them, then I can't even get anyone to come with me and play a mandala. I can't even go and do any preaching program. So you have to indulge them, and then otherwise I can't do anything. So, what was the question? I think I got deviated from the question.
Question from how?
Oh yeah. How to overcome? Well, fear of Krishna. Well, one has to pray. One can pray like this, that Krishna, you please do whatever is necessary to bring me to you. If we can dare to pray like that, who will dare? Please remove all my material attachments, gross and subtle.
That actually stems from our disbelief in the transcendental reality that can actually...
Ultimately, yes, yeah. Shraddha is the basis of bhakti. It's all bhakti, ado shraddha, but it's ado and ante also. There's no end, but but it's faith. Of course, for one who is fully absorbed in love of Krishna, then faith as we consider it from our present perspective is not really a factor, because it's just like I'm sitting in front of you, right? I'm now sitting in front of you. Now, unless you're a Buddhist or something, or then you don't think about, if you're a Buddhist, you might think, well, actually, I'm not sitting in front of you, and you're not sitting there, and nothing exists. You won't have, what I'm saying is that you don't, it's not a matter of logical or trying to understand with faith that I'm sitting in front of you. You accept it as an axiom, right? Unless you're a Buddhist. But even Buddhists, they talk that nothing actually exists, but when it's time to eat, they eat. If nothing actually exists, then, you know, let them drink kerosene. Why are they going to take food? Or why take anything? If nothing exists, then why do they make an effort to maintain the body? So they don't believe it, actually. Their so-called philosophy that nothing actually exists, they don't believe it. If they believed it, they would act on that platform, or not act, because they wouldn't do anything. There's no need to breathe even, just die right now. There's no difference between being alive and being dead, because neither state actually exists. So, that I am sitting in front of you is not a matter of faith. We don't have to discuss it or try to establish it. It's accepted as an axiom. For those who are premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, Prabhupada paraphrases this in the purport here. Santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokit. They always see that achintya guna swarupam, that form which is beyond logical thought processes, adhokshaja. So for them, it's not a matter of faith as we perceive it from a, it's not a logical construct that they have to make. Well, there's God, okay, God exists. But for them, it's a matter of experience at every moment. So, yeah, that we don't have full faith that blossoms into love of Krishna. It's present, but it's not seen because it's become developed to such a superlative degree. Just like the tree is a result of the seed. You don't see the seed anymore. But the tree is nothing but the seed, but it's developed fully. So love of Krishna develops from faith and is fully permeated by faith, but that faith, it no longer exists in the original form where it's just a beginning to approach to Krishna. You have a question?
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Let's you mentioned different things which are there, like, you know, there are some things as it's almost makes us fearing that, you know, so many different kind of philosophies are entering now, already have been entered to the ISKCON.
So many philosophies have entered ISKCON.
You know, like
I think Buddhism didn't come yet.
Yeah. And even like different kind of, you know, even the gurus kind of are taking nowadays different way, like the therapeutic system.
Laughing therapy.
And like that. So I'm just, you know, could you kindly help a little how to focus to the, you know, so that we kind of keep the safety line of not becoming entangled with these things, but at the same time aware, and should we make any endeavor, you know, to recognize these things? And
should we endeavor to recognize opasiddhantas in ISKCON?
Yeah.
Well, certainly we should recognize, because if we don't, we'll be victimized.
Yeah.
We have to distinguish between what is Siddhanta and what is upper Siddhanta. Of course we have to distinguish. What's floating around now is, don't criticize anyone, that's then that becomes Vaishnava Parad. This is exactly the same thing as the Sahajiyas say. Everyone's a devotee and anyone who's got tilak on, even they're talking all nonsense, then you have to respect that. They're devotees. But there was so much shastras there to distinguish between what is maya and what is truth. Between who is a materially devoted, motivated devotee, who is a pure devotee. Between lower level, middle level and topmost devotees. Between mayavad and pure devotional service. All these shastras are given for that purpose. And then if in the end, if we just say, well, anyone who's got tilak on, they're all devoted. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Nake tilak gale mala e kaliya chala. You may look like a first class Vaishnava, but you're just a disciple of Kali Yuga. So certainly we must discriminate between what should be done. And if we don't discriminate, then we become demons. Pravritting chana, vritting chana, janana vidura suraha. What should be done and what should not should be done? That is not, they mix it up. The demons, they don't know. Tasmat chastram pramanante karya karya vyavastitam gyatva shastra vidhanam karya karma iharhasi. You should know what is in shastra and act accordingly. That's the conclusion of the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So the yuga dharma is harenama 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 eva kevalam kalo nasjeva 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 gatiranyata. The yuga dharma is chanting harinam, and some laughing therapy invented by a sensualist who became famous for promoting sex, because I don't know if he invented it, but at least he promoted it. That he was a Jain, actually, professor from Jabalpur. Then he went to America, became a famous guru, and not surprisingly died of AIDS because he was having sex with so many people and encouraging that. So, this laughing meditation, or whatever it's called, that's accredited to him. He might have stolen it from someone else. It's not the yoga dharma. Yoga dharma is harinam. It's not difficult to understand. These are the things that we laugh at. The mayavadis. Well, look what nonsense these mayavadis are doing. Is what we can have our laughing therapy, laughing at all the nonsense of the mayavadis. But if we bring it into ISKCON, then we'll have crying therapy. At least I don't think Prabhupada's laughing with joy at this. I severely doubt it that Srila Prabhupada is happy with the introduction of this. It's nonsense. It's clearly nonsense. You can quote me on that wherever you like. Okay, we'll finish.